General Motors on safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present another program in their current series, bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on safari.
Remember, we'll be lucky to reach you're full aware. It's a long time since I went to church. They were on the move before the sun came up. Thompson's men had all been schooled to pretend that they were carriers for a hunting party after ivory, wishing to join forces with any other hunters in the area. The party had only been traveling for 3 hours when they saw the first signs of poachers. Vultures. Vultures circling high.
These birds of death are getting ready to steal the meat of the hunter, Bwana. We shall follow them to where they will sit in the tree.
That's what we'll do, Condo. We'll weave our way right a bit, though, so we can approach whatever it is they've spotted with the sun behind our backs. If they don't settle soon, it means their prey isn't quite dead.
Elephant?
Huh? Oh, it could be. Then again, there are a million and one things that crowd those ugly birds will wait for. Condor, tell your men to keep a sharp lookout, or they might run into a wounded elephant. The birds won't move if it is an elephant. It takes more than us to frighten them off all that grub.
They're going down, see?
Mm-hmm.
Must be pretty near the end for whatever it is. How far do you reckon? 5 miles? 6?
Oh, not so much. 3 at the most. Let's go.
They continued towards the Luapula. As they approached some tall timber on a ridge, sloping gradually down to the river, they came across a scene from out of Dante's wildest, most hideous nightmare. It was an elephant. The birds were preparing to kill, preparing to begin their foul.
The temple cannot drive the birds away. His net will die. Even the birds in the sky are coming down to eat.
The beast was long past crying out. The trunk would never again blast the forest majestically. It was a bull with heavy tusks. It had been shot at the knee joint, and there were more than a dozen festering gashes on its sides and in both shoulders. It never even knew that the men were approaching.
Heaven help the creatures who left this one to die like this. We'll have to leave it, just as it is. The men who shot it will be watching for the vultures. They'll be along. We'll wait.
Cover. And filthy.
That'll do. Don't know how long they'll be coming. We'd better hide ourselves right away. Condo, get your men up behind the anthill. Leave the tusks. We'll let our friends the poachers take them out for us.
I hate to leave the birds.
Yes, it's not their fault. Acting according to their nature. It's the human vultures I'm more concerned with. Now, we'll leave the birds to feed. They'll warn us as soon as anyone approaches.
The heat grew in intensity. Condo's men were very still. The white men marveled at the manner in which they endured the insects and the sun. And then the vultures began to get neurotic. Some left the carcass, flying up into the mimosa trees, craning their featherless necks to investigate something. Others were far too occupied with their meal to heed danger. 20 feet up the huge anthill, the hunters surveyed the felt. Someone was coming.
People come, Bwana. Black people.
Neither Thompson nor Milner could hear anything, save the voices of the greedy birds. And then
with a stealth both white men admired, seven armed natives appeared from amongst the mimosa and bush near the dead elephant. Five of the new arrivals carried knives and choppers. The two bringing up the rear were armed with rifles. The men, looking down from the anthill, saw the two poachers with guns lean their weapons against a small matuku tree.
Balthus don't seem to mind the poachers. Just slap out of their way.
They know the men aren't interested in them.
Okay.
They started on the tusks. Do some stalking now.
Thompson motioned to his askari, and silently they left the anthill. Below, the poachers, stripped, some of them naked, were carrying out the gory task of removing the mighty tusks. It wasn't until one of them looked up and saw the askari watching them that, one by one, they ceased their hacking and cutting and stood, a little foolishly, as if waiting for a leader to make a move. The biggest man spoke.
Who are you? What do you want with my elephant?
He was chewing ripe masuku fruit. He surveyed the askari without any real fear and was turning back to the work of removing the ivory when Thompson appeared.
Your elephant, then? When did you shoot it? Where did you get those rifles from? I am Chief Makawani of Chiengi. These are my people, all from my village. This animal I shot 3 days ago. This animal was wounded and angry and wished to kill my people. We left him to die, and the bird showed us where to find him.
And then the elephant poaching chief of Chiengi saw Milner standing with both his rifles.
That white man there, that man, stolen my rifles. Why? Have care, my friend. We are great hunters. We know how to deal with the ones who steal.
Call yourself a hunter, do you? You shot this beast and left it to die in agony. Hunter! You're worse than a chimbwe.
The chief's eyes flashed. Chimbwe. Hyena. A serious insult, for the long, bent-backed ones are much despised amongst the Chiengi.
Deserves to be shot out of hand for what you did to that poor old jumper. The rifle's almost new. 9.3mm Mausers. Ammunition under the trees. The Burma chaps are going to spit blood when they hear about this lot. Where do they get it all from?
How many elephants have you shot and left to die in the forest?
It is our custom to hunt this way. Why should we die? We shoot the animals from very near. If he dies, good. But if he does not die, we run away and wait for him to die. Sometimes 2 days, sometimes 3. But we always find him. The bird shot.
How many bulls?
We do not count the tusks. We are simple people. Everyone is satisfied. Except our battle. Who? The people get meat. The chiefs get money. To buy more rifles to shoot
for. Who isn't satisfied?
No one is satisfied, Buona. No one.
You mentioned a name then. Al.
Al? Who? Yes. Yeah, the white man is very funny. Before the white man come to this land, it was our land. No hunter needed the license, the little bit of paper to kill the elephant.
Who's Alberto?
Who is that man?
That's what I'm asking you, Chief.
Why do we have to need the government paper before we shoot one of the bulls for the dusk?
Because government says so. Now stop wasting my time. Who's Alberto, Chief? Why is he angry?
Nagawani, where do the rifles come from?
From the Congo. The same men who buy the ivory.
This ivory? Where are you taking it to?
Mukawani looked away. Looked round at his men, standing sullen but watchful, eyes darting from their chief to the white men, and then to the askari, and back to their chief again.
Where are you taking the ivory to?
Thompson then produced a pistol. He trained it upon Makawane's stomach.
Makawane, I don't like people who chop elephants about. I don't like people who leave them to die in great pain. For all these things, I'd like to shoot you. But I shan't shoot you, because I wish to know more. And perhaps the thing I hate the most is the man who does not answer when I question him. Where's the ivory going to, Makawani?
To a place.
What place, Makawani?
A place for hiding until the men come for the start.
Take me there, Makawani.
I shall take you. But first you will give us back the rifles. The rifles are our property.
Give you back? Do you think I'm mad, Makawani?
Yes, Wana.
Makawani!
Shut up, Colin.
Makawani! You will take us to the place where you hide the tusks. You will take us to where you meet the men. Now move!
We'll push on. Makawani and his second-in-command leading.
The party set off. The chief and his poachers led, followed by Colin Milner, the Ascaris and Thompson bringing up the rear. They hoped to reach the fast-flowing Luapula River before dark. It was mid-afternoon when they found the pit. The pit had been dug across the game trail. It was deep, and tapering spikes had been driven hard into the ground at the pit's bottom. The top of the trap had been covered with branches and creepers, supported by small saplings. The opening had been covered. Now the covering was broken, and the trap hole gaped. And in the hole were four roan antelope. Three of them still lived when Thompson looked down. There was hatred in Thompson's eyes when he turned to the chief once again.
That's more of your work. Is it? Answer me!
Strangely, the chief did not deny it.
It is our custom. I have told you so. You white men are women, not hunters. You should not interfere in men's work.
No, Vic. Leave it. We'll camp here the night. Take turns at watch. Reach the river in the morning.
Women.
Another word, Makawani, and I'll shoot you myself.
Okay, Vic.
Thompson slowly allowed the gun to fall to his side. He would probably never know how close he had come to shooting the Chienga. Victor Thompson turned to give orders to Kondo, and it was as Milner's gaze was diverted by a flash of blue from a bird in the trees that Makawani's hand flew to the folds of his ragged shirt. The knife was out, and the man was across the clearing.
Vic!
Huh?
The big native ran at Thompson before Colin Milner could raise his gun. Thompson parried the knife. Milner could not shoot. Both men's bodies were intertwined, and then a fist made a fire.
Leave him, Colin.
And again, Milner's gun dropped.
Kondo, we stay here tonight. Makawani will show us the hiding place. The ivory, tomorrow, first light. Throw some water over him. We want to make sure he can walk. Come on. Oh. I hate knife fighters. There's something disgusting about a knife.
You, nearly found out. You okay?
I wonder who Albertino is.
Alberto.
Huh? Oh.
They took the watch turn by turn. The night seemed long. The party was underway again by dawn. It was midday before the Luapula was sighted. The country was bush country now, open. The sun hammered them into the ground. Makawani decided that he'd had enough.
Makawani, get up!
Wala, my legs cannot carry me to the river. They cannot take me to the machete.
Start walking, or I'll get behind you and help you walk. Cut up! The four best of Scotty will take the poachers back to Kawan Wabuma. Makawani and his second Philomone will stay with us.
Yes, Wana.
The Ascari left for the poachers. Only Makawani and his number two stayed. The second night was coming as they reached the river. They made camp not far from the water.
Your last chance, Makawani. Where's the machete? Where's the machete, Makawani? Where's the machete, Bakawani?
I cannot tell you. I have forgotten where the machete is. You have beaten me, stolen my rifle, made me walk when I'm sick. You cannot treat me in this way. I'm a great chief.
All right. Tonto, tie Makawani and his friend to a tree. We're far enough away from our camp, though. I don't want to be disturbed by their cries tonight when the hyena find them. That's all, Tonto. I don't like men who forget so easily.
Wallace.
What?
I have remembered where the machete is.
Good. Hard luck on the hyenas. By the way,
go straight down the river from here. Find a tree bent like an elephant's trunk when the beast is angry. From the tree, walk 50 paces along the river towards where we have come from. You must fire 2 shots into the air. You will then hear 2 more shots from the Congo side of the water. The motorboat starting, you will hear, and it will come across to the mission house. There are some of my men, and they will like beacons to show the boat how to reach the bank.
The white men took Makawani and the other victim natives down to the appointed ship. Two shots were fired. And then the white men and Kondo and 2 askaris took Makawani and had taken in command to free him back from the river. The flare of the beacons lit the night a quarter of a mile up the bank.
Boat. You know what to do, Kondo. The one and Milner and I will keep back here out of sight. Good luck.
And then Makawani's men arrived. The beacon lights arrived. They were shocked for a moment to find Kondo and Gali instead of Makawani and Philemon.
Greetings, brother.
Greetings, friend. You are strangers. Where is our chief?
We are them, officer. Let us go to beat the Congo boat. We are sent to buy the rifles that give the ivory to the Congo boat. Makawani.
Alberto came across.
We are the advance guard of the chief party.
Bring me the ivory.
Alberto was a white man. He was alone in the boat.
Don't load the tusks yet. I want to measure them first. Be careful with the boxes. Bring them from the boat. Quickly. Work quickly. Careful with the boxes. They contain rifles and good beer. Timba beer for your brothers. Fetch the boxes.
And then Victor Thompson, who had stepped forward in the night, stood up.
Alberto, keep still, no move.
Congo. Monsieur Alberto, Congo rich man, poacher, tanned, handsome face. But he turned pale in the dust. Thompson and Milner walked forward. Condo and the Ascari covered the building. Suddenly, Makawani's helpers, the beacon burners, turned tail and ran.
Back!
One of the poachers fell, but Alberto had been waiting for such an opportunity. As the natives ran away, and as Milner and Thompson turned momentarily, the Belgian produced a gun and fired as he threw himself full length upon the ground. The bullet found Colin Milner, and he dropped without a sound.
Condo! Leave Makawani's men! Stop Alberto getting to the boat! He's in the water! Keep on firing, Condo!
And then a lucky bullet. Lucky for the man who went to the Luapula to hunt poachers. Not lucky for one poacher in particular, a man called Alberto. Alberto and his boat blew up. Kondo and Victor Thompson stood on the great bank of the Luapula. Nothing disturbed the fast-flowing river surface now, save what nature meant to be disturbed. The wreckage of the boat would be carried far. A strange silence in the night. Makawani's men had not returned. There were shells. Cartridges lit in the damp night riverbank. Cartridges of the body of Colin Milner. An elephant had been revenged. Makawane would be brought to justice. Alberto, the ringleader, the man who had bought the little men, was no more. But Colin Milner was dead. Within a month, all that would remain of the whole expedition would be a few words in a government report book. Words like river, Kapoor, Alberto, Congo, successful, accomplished, unfortunate death.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.